If Satan can't keep you from getting saved, Satan definitely wants to keep you from being God's witness. You shall be witnesses unto me when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants us to be. That's what he wants to give unto us, where you go forth in the power and have the boldness of Peter, and the Holy Spirit will bring you those scriptures to teach others and to preach to others. Oh, it's dynamite. Well, that's the word, dunamis. It's dynamite. What God can do and will do through you. But Satan wants to sterilize you through teaching against these things.
You shall love the Lord with all your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your soul. You shall love the Lord with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
No matter where you attend church, if you're serious about your faith, then the teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the promise of the Father is an experience which brings the believer into the richness of the Spirit-filled life is something that needs to be embraced. Now, we know that few church doctrines have generated more question and controversy than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, there are misunderstandings concerning this doctrine that are hindering many sincere believers from entering into this blessed experience. Today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry Ganey will talk about this and offer scriptural principles and examples that provide validity to this teaching. Our main text can be located in Acts chapter 2. And now with today's broadcast from Faith to Faith, here's Pastor Henry.
Peter had boldness. So he stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." So everybody listen. He had an audience there. They'd come running, this miraculous speaking in tongues and this brand new thing. And there may have been other things. You know, it doesn't tell us. It mostly talks about the tongues of fire and them speaking in these brand new languages. And these people that were overhearing this, they said, "How hear we in our own tongues, our own dialects, the languages in which we were born, understanding what was being said?" And he said, "Now, these men are not drunk. They're not drunk, as you suppose," in verse 15, "seeing it is but the third hour of the day." It's 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, they didn't get drunk at 9 in the morning. Well, the disciples didn't get drunk anyway, but they didn't drink wine that moved. There was two kinds of wine in those days. There was one non-alcoholic wine, and then there was an alcoholic wine too. I'm not going to get into that. But basically, they would not have been drinking any kind of alcoholic wine during the day, and the disciples, I don't think, would have been anyway. Because it says in the Bible, "Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and so I don't think they were drunk with wine. I know they weren't. And Peter is making the point here, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody, you know, people aren't drunk at 9 in the morning. So, I mean, generally. If you are, you got a big problem, and you need Jesus. Need Jesus. "These are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days." When are the last days? Well, they started back then, didn't they? Peter says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days." They started 2,000 years ago, and we're still in the last days. We're still in the last days. You see, there had been 4,000 years since creation, at least 4,000 years. We know if we go look at the Bible chronology, you go back to God creating everything. And then in the year 1656 was the flood. And then after that, a few hundred years later comes Abraham. And then 2,000 years later comes Jesus Christ. And so we've got 4,000 years of history, at least before Christ, and then another 2,000. So that we're, you know, 2,000 years is not a long time in God's economy. And so we're in the last days, and we have been in the last days for 2,000 years. We're in the church age. "So it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, what does he mean, I will pour out upon all flesh? This doesn't mean every individual in the world is going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What it does mean is that this is not going to be limited anymore to the Jews. You see, previously God had been the God of Israel, the God of the Jews, but he's telling them, now I'm going to do something different. The gospel is going to the Gentiles, all nations. Any person in any nation today can get saved. They can come to Jesus Christ if they will come unto him and believe in him. Doesn't matter what your background is. God is not just saving Jews. He is saving Jews today, but he's saving Gentiles all over the world. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so it says old men dreaming dreams. We had a young girl, though, that was dreaming dreams, didn't we, about being baptized. And so God speaks to us today in lots of different ways. And it says your young men shall see visions. Years ago, I saw a vision. Matter of fact, when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, I saw a vision. When I was a young doctor in California, I had fallen away from Jesus Christ. I was raised as a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home, raised to love Jesus. But as I got into science and the teaching of evolution and all that, and then I went to medical school, and then I went into my residency there in California, I had gotten away from the Lord. And I was looking for fulfillment. I was looking for satisfaction. I was looking for the key to life. And I was looking in all the wrong places. And I quickly recognized that medicine did not have the answer to the needs of mankind. I don't know what I was thinking when I went to medical school, but I thought I was going to become some great healer and have the answer to people. And when they came in, boy, we're going to make them well. Their lives are going to be wonderful from then on. And I found out 1 week they'd come in with a sore throat, give them a shot of penicillin. The next week they'd be in with something else, you know, and maybe a broken arm. And we didn't really have the answers. It was just putting Band-Aids, for the most part, on ailing mankind. Seeing this lack, I was frustrated. I was looking for something beyond what medicine had to offer. And Satan gave me a counterfeit. A friend, knowing the frustrations I was having, began to tell me about this group. I won't mention the name of the group. They probably don't even exist anymore today. But this group of folks was part of this organization that they were learning to go into trances. And in these trances, they would give medical information and give medical healings, supposedly. And so they enticed me to go to one of their meetings. And I went to one of these meetings, and it was really, it was Satan, but it was interesting. Okay, Satan is interesting. I don't recommend it, but I didn't know what I was doing, you know. I did these things, as Paul said, in ignorance. And I went to this meeting, and these people were going into trances. And they were telling you about patients. And here's what they did. They asked me, at that time I was working at part of my residency, I was at a stroke hospital in Downey, California, a very well-known stroke hospital there. And I had a patient that had had a stroke, and I was working with her. And she was paralyzed on her right side. And so they asked me, just give this person that went into this trance, give them the name of one of your patients, in the city where that patient is located. That's all they need. And the age, and that's all they need. And then they will heal that patient. Well, okay. I gave all that information. This girl goes into this trance, and suddenly she reproduces my stroke patient's symptoms perfectly. She drops her hand and her leg. She says, I can't move my right arm and my right leg. Wow. This is pretty impressive. So she also told me she could see something wrong with her brain, that she'd had a stroke. I didn't tell this girl any of this. She had had a stroke. And then she said, I'm going to her now and I'm touching her brain. And I can see that area and I'm beginning to work on that area and to heal that area. I was very impressed with all of that. Now, the first two parts were a deception, but there was an element of truth there. She was able to reproduce. She had had a stroke. There was something wrong with her brain, but I noticed something that after this was all over and I went back to that stroke hospital, the patient didn't change. She didn't get well. So whatever she said she was doing to her brain, she wasn't doing anything. Patient didn't get well, but I was blown away with that knowledge. And I wanted that power for myself. You know, that's what Satan does. He caters to your flesh. Caters to your power. You want power. Now, I might say, well, my motivation was good. I was sincere. I was dead wrong. I was in sins and trespasses. against God, what I was doing. Ignorantly, in unbelief, yes, but it was still ungodly. I was being deceived. Well, they told me I could learn how to do this, and so I decided I would learn how to do it. I started taking, and it was a class that took place on two weekends, a Saturday and a Sunday, and a week later, another Saturday and a Sunday. And the lady that was teaching this class, she had all this, she was the best one. I mean, she had all this power, and yet I noticed something about her. She seemed to be miserable. She was teaching this class, and I could see just on her face that she was an unhappy person. And it didn't click. I mean, it didn't fit. I was watching this, and I thought, I want to be what you are, and yet you're not what I want to be because you're miserable. And so I was sitting there thinking, there's something about this that's not right. But I didn't have the knowledge, and I started getting headaches. You see, I was saved when I was a little child, so I was born again. I was God's property, but I was in the wrong place. But I was getting these horrible headaches, and I didn't know what was going on. There was a spiritual battle going on around me. There are angels around us, people, you know, and we've got angels protecting us, and there are demon spirits that want to deceive us, and there was a spiritual battle, plus, I don't know, you know, the Holy Spirit, I don't know how it was happening, what was going on. I know this, I know that I was the battleground, and I was getting miserable. I was having these horrible headaches, and you know, I always prided myself when I'd go into the classroom, I could concentrate, and I'd take good notes, and I'd do okay on the tests, and I couldn't concentrate, I couldn't think about what she was saying, and it was terrible. And so I was taking this course with these friends. We went through the first weekend, and boy, I told them, I said, I really bummed that. I'll have to go back next week and try harder. So I got an emergency phone call on Tuesday night, and the lady that was teaching the class had committed suicide. And then the other students told me that she thought that she was frustrated because not more people were coming to this course, and she thought that through her suicide, she could come back and teach this course as a higher power through her husband. See, she was not only a deceiver, but she was being deceived. And that's what the Bible says about false prophets and false teachers. Deceiving and being deceived. She was totally deceived. She committed suicide. When she did that, I knew this is not of God. This is not something I need to be involved with. Once I knew that and the mask was off, boy, Satan came after me. It was some of my friends thought I was going crazy, and maybe I was. You know, it was a tough time in my life because I would be sitting in my apartment looking at pictures on the walls, and suddenly the eyes in those pictures would be staring at me. I mean, it was Satan was doing everything he could to bring fear into my heart. But I found out something. I found out that prayer would drive it away, and especially the Lord's Prayer. So I was praying a lot. That's where I learned to pray, in that battleground there. I was praying a lot, and then the Lord sent a Christian into my life, and I remember talking to her and asking her and saying, where did I go wrong? I said, I was raised to love Jesus. What happened? And she said, you got away from the Word. You got away from the Scriptures. That's not biblical. And she also looked at me and she smiled and she said, you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, have you? And I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was a Methodist. I was raised in a Methodist church, you know. And she said, well, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, how do I get that? And she said, well, you pray and you ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. She said, you're saying your prayers every night. And I know. And I told her that the evil would go away when I prayed and prayed the Lord's Prayer. She said, after you say your prayers, you pray the Lord's Prayer, pray, Lord, please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I can do that. What else? Well, you better go read the Bible, too. So she told me to go here and read Acts chapter 1 and 2, read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So I read all those scriptures. And then I began to pray, and I prayed each night. I said my prayers, and I prayed, Lord, please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. A week later, I knelt beside my bed, and as I knelt there and began to pray, I would normally finish my prayers, get up and go to bed. I knelt there, and I began to pray, and I said, Lord, please baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I started to get up, and it's like, the Lord, stay here. And I would continue to kneel beside my bed, and then the Lord took me in a vision. Took me in a vision of the Lord to another place. And when I went to this other place, there was a large room, a large wooden room. It was like a church. There weren't pews in there, but it was like a church. And I entered this large room, and I looked, and at the other end of this room, there was a cross. And I went across the room, and I went to the cross. And it was a large wooden cross, and I knelt at the foot of the cross, and I began to pray. And as I prayed, suddenly something began to drip on the back of my head and run down onto my face. And I knew it was the blood of Jesus Christ washing me and cleansing me. And as I knelt there, I felt His blood cleansing me. I began to weep. As I thought of His great sacrifice for me, spilling His blood there at Calvary, and all of the dumb, foolish, petty things I had done. And I wept there at the foot of the cross with His blood cleansing me. And then I stood up. I stood up and I could see Jesus. Jesus was on the cross right in front of me. And I could see His body, and there was a spike driven through His feet. And His legs were right here, and I reached out and I held onto His legs. And it was glorious. I want to tell you, it was glorious just touching Jesus, holding on to Him. And I stood there a few moments and just holding on to Him and feeling peace. And then I wanted to see Him better, so I stepped back. I stepped back and I looked up. And as I looked up, suddenly water gushed out of the wound in His side, falling onto my head and baptizing me. And I knew this was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I'd been praying for. And I felt so many things at one time. I felt a joy that I'd never known before. I felt a peace I'd never known before. I felt a power that I'd never known before. I felt the love that I had known before, but I'd gotten away from, that love of Jesus Christ, His great love for you and for me. And I asked Him. I looked up, and I could see Christ on the cross, but I could not see His face. There was a mist around His face. I cannot tell you today what Jesus looks like. There was a cloud around His face, but I asked Him, I said, "Lord, what am I to do now?" And He spoke to me from the cross, and He said, "Watch, wait, and listen, and you'll know what to do when the time is right." So I stood there a few more moments, and I just began to feel all that well up inside me again, that joy and that peace, and again I said, "Lord, what am I to do now?" And this time, instead of speaking from the cross, the Holy Spirit spoke to me from within, exactly the same words, the same voice even, "Watch, wait, and listen, and you'll know what to do when the time is right." I knew that what I'd been brought there for had been accomplished, and I was to go. And so I turned and I left that room. And I felt the Holy Spirit like a cloud around my head. I didn't know the Bible at that point. But I felt the Holy Spirit like a cloud around my head. And later, I got a Bible. I knew that I had to know what was in this book. I got a Bible and I fell on it. I consumed it. I read the whole Bible in 3 months. And I wanted to know the Word of God. He gave me a hunger and a thirst for His Word. And as I went through the Word, I found that the Holy Spirit was like a cloud in the wilderness. It led the children of Israel as a cloud by day and as a fire by night. And I knew that was the Holy Spirit around my head, leading me, guiding me, directing me. It's for today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. I know some of you were probably raised in Baptist churches that taught against this. And I love the Baptist, by the way. When people ask us about our theology, I say, "Well, we're closest to being Baptist, except we believe in the baptism and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we believe in the Word of God and teach and preach the Word of God." And that's, but unfortunately, a lot of great, wonderful churches don't believe in the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe in the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, then you got to do it in the energy of your own flesh. And I tell you that will wear you out really fast, because you don't have the energy to do the work of God. We need the power. We need that power. To finish the story, it wasn't long after that God took me to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and had me sit under the teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, who taught all the way through the Bible, the complete Word of God, the full counsel of God. And I went through the Bible twice with him, learning it precept upon precept, line upon line, before he brought me to Georgia. But that's what God did in my life. Now, God doesn't do it that way for everyone. As we go through the book of Acts, we will find that there are 5 different occasions for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And on those 5 different occasions, the first one we've got here, it was just spontaneous. They were there worshiping together, waiting on the Lord. Boom, it fell upon them. Same thing happened in Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius. The first time the power of the Holy Spirit came to the Gentile church. By the way, it was mostly given to Jews in the beginning. But the first time it came to the Gentile church, there was a righteous man there. His name was Cornelius. He was a centurion. And God spoke to him to send for Peter. And Peter would speak to you the words of life. And so he came and he got Peter. And Peter came in. And in the house of Cornelius there, Peter was speaking to them about Jesus Christ and His crucifixion and His resurrection. And the Bible says the baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they began to speak with tongues and to glorify God. And they were all baptized right there. And these were Gentiles. Peter was blown away because Gentiles could not be saved, as far as Peter thought up until that moment. And then he realized that God was no respecter of persons, that He was sending out salvation to the ends of the earth. And so that time, those two times, it was just a spontaneous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The first time was totally spontaneous. They were worshiping. The next time, Peter was speaking the words of the gospel. The other three times that you see this given with the laying on of hands. We have in Acts chapter 8, we have Philip going down to Samaria and preaching to them Christ and people getting saved and believing in Jesus and even being baptized. But then Peter and John came down. They recognized the lack and they laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And Simon, by the way, saw all that and wanted to buy that gift, if you remember that. And so we don't know the manifestation there in Acts chapter 8, whether they were speaking in tongues. It doesn't say they were. But there was some manifestation that Simon knew that was something very powerful going on there when they received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who went to breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the early church. And he went to take them into captivity and to torment them and to maybe even kill some. And God encountered him there on the Damascus Road, blinded him. And then he was at this particular house and God spoke to a man, Ananias. He said, I want you to go and lay hands on Saul and pray for him. And so he went, he laid hands on him, he prayed for him. And it was like scales that came off of his eyes. And Paul was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that Paul spoke with tongues there. But later in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul the Apostle says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. So Paul did receive that gift of speaking in tongues. And then one other occasion in Acts chapter 19, there were the Ephesians, some of Ephesus that had been baptized under the baptism of John, John the Baptist. And Paul took them then and laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Those are the instances in the book of Acts. You see the baptism of the Holy Spirit accompanied by supernatural things. It may be speaking in tongues. It may be prophecy. It might be some of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've got those outlined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there, and also Romans chapter 12. There are over 17 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we won't go through all of those today, but there's, as I said, there's tongues, there's prophecy, there's healing, there's working of miracles, there's faith. There's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. There's all kinds of gifts that can be manifested when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I'll tell you this. I didn't speak in tongues immediately. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit there in the presence of Jesus on the cross, and I didn't speak in tongues for another 3 or 4 months. So I don't believe it when somebody says, oh, you got to speak in tongues when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, it says, do all speak with tongues? No, not everybody speaks with tongues. So if tongues bothers you, don't worry about it. Just pray, God, give me your power. Give me that dunamis power and the gifts you want me to have. And if you're worried about tongues, don't just put it aside for the time being. Just ask God to make you his witness. That's what you want to be. You shall be witnesses unto me when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants us to be. That's what he wants to give unto us.
Peter was a man who started out with Jesus very headstrong, but in time God would break the fallow ground of Peter's heart and turn it into good soil that would produce much fruit in Peter's life and ministry. And with the empowering of the Holy Spirit that came upon Peter's life, it gave him the boldness to proclaim his Jesus to his world. Pastor Henry has offered us some great insights in Acts chapter 2 and will offer us further commentary in our next study time. I hope you can join us then.
Now, if you're interested in receiving a copy of the program that you've heard today, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, the number to reach us is 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is From Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Thomasville, in Georgia.
soul with all my heart.